Welcome. It's Sunday, November 20th, 2022. Our scriptures this week are from Colossians 1, 9 through 20, and Luke 23, 26 through 43. The title of the message this week is Understanding Forgiveness and Its Power. So if you would please open your Bibles and read with me from Colossians 1, 9 through 20. Starting at verse 9, Paul writes, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. We pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. For he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." So if you would, please turn to your Bibles, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, 26 through 43, the crucifixion, starting at verse 26. "So as they led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, 'Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, Blessed are the barren women, the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed. Then they will say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, Cover us. For if men do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it's dry?' Well, two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing.' And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. Well, the people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, 'He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one.' The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, 'If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself.' There was a written notice above him which read, 'This is the King of the Jews.' So one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him, 'Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us.' But the other criminal rebuked him. 'Don't you fear God,' he said, 'since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong.' And he said, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And Jesus answered him, 'I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise.'" Well, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Being that next Sunday's first Sunday of Advent, I thought it would be wise for us to remind ourselves of what the Son of God came for, knowing the crucifixion he would endure. To take these coming days and remind ourselves the cost of forgiveness and the value of forgiveness and its power. Well, there's an old story, and it would be hilarious if it weren't so sad. But a young soldier fighting in Italy during World War II, he managed to jump into a foxhole just ahead of a spray of bullets. And he immediately attempted to deepen the hole for more protection. And as he was frantically scraping at the dirt with his hands, he unearthed a silver crucifix. Obviously, left by the previous occupant of the foxhole. Well, a moment later, a leaping figure landed beside him. As shells screamed overhead, the soldier turned to see that his new companion was an army chaplain. So holding up the crucifix, the soldier cried, "Am I glad to see you? How do you work this thing?" Well, I suspect that is the pertinent question for many people when they come to the saving grace of the cross. It's, how do you work this thing? Because they have a hard time understanding the power of forgiveness and the love that God has for all, the forgiveness afforded to you and me through Jesus. So I pray, as Paul did for the church of Colossae, that God will fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So in our gospel reading today of the crucifixion according to Luke, we have the greatest examples of the power of forgiveness. Well, the crucifixion account, which we just read, it consists of three parts. First, the journey of the place to the cross. Second, the crucifixion. And third, the story of the two crucified criminals. So starting in Luke's account in verse 26, Luke describes how Simon from Cyrene is made to carry Jesus' cross. Now imagine Simon heading for Jerusalem to prepare for the Passover for his family. We know he was a family man because Mark 15:21 tells us he had two sons, Alexander and Rufus. So I imagine in his journey to Jerusalem, along the way he finds himself surrounded by others talking about what's happening in the city. Well, some of them may have been women Jesus was speaking to in verse 28. And maybe, just maybe, as they traveled, they were discussing what happened the day before in the temple, when Jesus prophesied about the destruction of the temple. Now, when Simon arrives in the city, he finds himself surrounded by a mob, looking on as Roman soldiers escort convicted men to be crucified at the place of the skull, Golgotha. And verse 27 tells us that a large number of people followed, including women who mourned and wailed for him. And we're not told the names of these women, but we can assume that they were close to and cared for Jesus. So Simon, standing there, surrounded by the crowd, all of a sudden is commandeered by the soldiers to help this criminal carry his cross. I'm sure he was wishing he had a foxhole to crawl into. Well, did he recognize who Jesus was? No, we're not told. I mean, here's Jesus, bloody from the flogging that Pilate ordered, with a crown of thorns put on his head by the soldiers, clothed in purple and a face that had been struck multiple times by the soldiers, struggling to carry his cross, the 600 meters to Golgotha to be crucified. And he collapses under the weight of the cross. Was it the actual weight of his cross, or was it the burden of our sins, past, present, and future, that were really taking their toll? The cost of forgiveness, which he was bearing. Well, then at some point after the exchange of the cross, Jesus speaks to the women who recognized Jesus, who mourned and wailed for him as they followed. He says in verse 28 through 30, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the barren women, the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.'" But Jesus told them not to weep for him, but for themselves. He knew that in only about 40 years, Jerusalem and the temple would be destroyed by the Romans. That in the days to come, it would be so bad that childless women, usually viewed as quite unfortunate, will consider themselves blessed. For they will have no other mouths to feed during the famine that will rip the besieged city, and they will be spared the grief of seeing their children die in the overthrow of that city. That experience will be so dreadful that the people will wish for death and burial. Well, then, speaking to all who could hear, he tells them a proverb. "For if men do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it's dry? Well, this proverb is difficult to interpret. I mean, some feel it means if the innocent Jesus from the green tree suffered at the hands of the Romans, what would happen to the guilty Jews, the dry tree? Or another interpretation might be, if God is willing to permit such a disaster as death of an innocent Jesus, how much more severe will the guilty in Jerusalem's coming disaster be? Luke 23:31 in the ERV interpretation puts it this way. If this can happen to someone who is good, what will happen to those who are guilty? See, Luke alone mentions the tears of the Jewish woman while Jesus was being led through the streets to his execution. Luke records this for us, telling us to weep for those who receive and those who don't understand the value of forgiveness afforded to us by his death on the cross. Jesus is testifying to the consequences and the reality of those who don't receive God's forgiveness, encouraging us in our understanding of forgiveness and his power, warning all who don't receive that forgiveness of the consequences of their sins and the burden which they will bear. So Luke has set the stage for us to understand how important it is to comprehend Jesus' words of forgiveness and his power. When he recounts the two other men, both criminals that were also let out with Jesus to be executed. The people who stood there watching, including the rulers, all of which sneered at him, and even the soldiers who came up and mocked him and offered him wine vinegar along with one of the criminals, because he said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Well, we might rightfully ask, how can he forget these people who are in the process of ending his life? And one of the most critical things for all of us to grasp is that unless Jesus does what he does, the cross stands for nothing. I mean, all too many times we have a hard time understanding forgiveness and its power. When tragedy strikes, it is often hard to trust in God. We give God lots of lip service when a child is born and some other wonderful thing comes into our lives, but we are equally quick to condemn God. Or at the very least, ask, how, God, could you let this happen? Or say, if you are God of love, how can this happen? I mean, there's no easy answers. But we can learn by understanding that this horrific act that Jesus is a supreme example of innocent suffering. As Paul wrote, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. For he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." His witness to us is that even there, even at the point of torture and death, when he stood, feeling most vulnerable and exposed, he shows us that God's love never takes a vacation. His example is our good fortune in understanding that there is one reality that remains when all seems to be darkness, and that is, in the end, God prevails even over death and provides for us forgiveness and his power. Well, in the final verses of Jesus' crucifixion, Luke tells us one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." And then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." Well, this coming Thursday, as we celebrate Thanksgiving, remember and believe as the criminals on a cross who came to the understanding of God's forgiveness and his power, remember that the Bible teaches us to praise God for everything, joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. Then we are to praise him, thank God constantly In all circumstances, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, are always giving thanks to God, the Father, for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, from Ephesians 5:20, for everything. Yes, everything. So ask God to help you in your understanding forgiveness and its power. Just as Paul wrote to the church of Colossae, with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding, in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. I mean, then you will have no need to hold up a cross and ask, how do I use this thing? You will be thankful for the spiritual wisdom of the understanding forgiveness and its power. Amen. Well, in his service, this has been Pastor Joe.